Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today's been so good. God, it's been so good.
Good, it's been good enough. You've been better than good to me.
God has had my back in the midst of my enemies, and I ain't even have to be there. For God to care me and my children. I'm so connected to this air that I breathe, the ocean and the sea,
the mountains.
Hello, hello, everyone. I am so sorry to tell you that I thought I was talking, but I was on mute, and I thought you could hear me. But we are live tonight, and we're talking this evening about the first of four episodes for this month. And our first episode, we'll be talking about doing business with the federal government. And when I say doing business with the government, that is the Department of Defense, Joint Service Administration, and the Small Business Administration, as well as the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, which was which is located right here in the Arlington area, and it was previously called Cross Timbers, and it may be still that name there, but under the new contract with the Department of Defense, they are now called the Procurement Technical Assistance Center. So on tonight, hopefully we will have Mr. Albert Garza, who is the small business director there. He's a small business specialist. So what I'm going to do is to continue to tell you about General Service Administration until he clicks on. So I wanted to do this because it's so important to me as a small business that has been in business for over 30 years. And 20 of those years, I myself was a small business with General Service Administration mass contract. And when I say mass, that means multiple award schedule. And for 20 years, I was able to do a lot of small business set-aside programs under this program. So I'm very happy to share with you my experiences with GSA as an entrepreneur and as a small business. So that's why I asked for Mr. Garza to be on tonight. I was hoping that he would be, and I'm sure that he will come on pretty soon. But right now he's not on to continue the conversation, but we're going to go ahead without him. Because as a small business, I've been doing business with GSA for an awful long time, and I'm still doing business with GSA, and I do not have a scheduled contract, but I do business with them under the open market. So I think he just clicked on, and Mr. Garza, are you here?
I apologize. I tried to get on through the regular way, but it didn't let me in. So I'm calling by phone. I hope that's okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that. That's okay. But I was telling everybody about my experiences with GSA for 20 years with the mass contract. And after the pandemic hit, I didn't renew. I was offered to come back with GSA. But I did because I won't be able to travel like I used to travel. So, Mr. Garza, I just want you to share with everybody the advantages of doing business with GSA, and there are some great, great advantages there. And it's just awesome compared to what I had experienced before I got my GSA mass contract. So, Mr. Garza, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you kind of lecture us lecture to us about what it's all about and advantages.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. And then just tell me to stop if I'm going a little bit too long. But, hello, everybody. My name's Albert Garza. I'm with the General Services Administration, or GSA, and I'm located in the Fort Worth office. I have counterparts located around the country, and if you ever need any assistance on working with GSA, feel free to call me, and a little bit later on I'll give you my telephone number. But essentially what happens is the General Services Administration works with all federal agencies. We were created right after World War II by President Truman, and our job is to take care of the government, all of their business functions. And so one of the big things that we do is we take care of all the federal buildings and courthouses around the country. And so that's a large part of our portfolio. The other half of their portfolio is we create contracts that are utilized by other federal agencies to do business with small businesses and large businesses around the country. For instance, if there's a federal office out there and they need to, stock their office supply cabinet with office supplies and stuff like that. So what will happen is they will go to GSA, and we create the contracts with small businesses and large businesses also to provide those office supplies and things like that. But we also do much more than that. We also supply, computers and IT equipment of all types. We take care of their telephones. We also take care of their copy machines. We also take care of we provide a lot of the bedding that goes into VA hospitals and also military barracks around the world. We also provide food service equipment. We also do things like logistics services and things like that. And then when we talk about other services, we do everything from management consulting to translation services to people that take care of like accounting and lawyering and stuff like that. We also do advertising and marketing. And then we also do a lot of other services like related to engineering or, energy saving products and stuff like that. So we pretty much do quite a lot. And so what happens is Ms. Melson was describing earlier, the program that she was on was known as the GSA schedule. And the schedule is just a list of contractors. And like, for instance, right now we have over 18,000 contractors on the GSA schedule, and they provide pretty much everything under the sun. And the one good thing that's a really big benefit is that out of those 18,000 contractors, about 80% of the companies are small businesses. And so that's one of the values of being on a GSA schedule. It's a great way for small businesses to get their foot to the door and to do business with federal government. Because when you have that GSA schedule contract, you don't need any other contract. All you need is that one contract. And with that one contract, it lasts for 5 years. And essentially the schedule, when you create a contract, you've already negotiated with the federal government on the terms of your contract. So you already have pre-negotiated prices and other conditions that are related to your contract. So it makes it a whole lot easier for federal agencies to do business with you. And so that's why a lot of federal agencies like to do business with GSA scheduled contractors, because they already know you have a contract in place and you're ready to go and start doing business. And so we always like to say that, let's say if you're visiting a federal office in your local community, one of the first questions out of their mouth will be, hey, do you have a GSA number? And what they're looking for is that GSA contract number, because when you have that contract number, all they have to do is write a task order or delivery order against that contract and do business with you right away. And so that's the beauty of the system, is it allows you, like I said earlier, to get your foot to the door, and then not only that, but it allows you to go through the door so you can actually do business. And so if you are interested in anything about that program, let me go ahead and give you my phone number right now, and we'll repeat it throughout the program, but let me go ahead and do it right now. I can be reached at area code 817-932-3117. And let me repeat the number for you. It's area code 817 and 932-3117. And feel free to call me at any time, and I'll be able to – if you tell me about your business, what I can do is I can tell you more about the program. And then the other thing I can do is if you give me your email address, I can send you an email, and I can provide you with the web links that will help you to get started with the program. My role at GSA is to answer your questions and guide you through the process so that you don't get lost. So don't feel like, a lot of people hear horror stories about doing business with the federal government that, it's hard or it's really difficult. But like I said, my job is to answer your questions, and so feel free to use me as a resource, and I can get you through the process so that you can become a GSA scheduled contractor. If you'd like to, Verna, I can keep on going on unless you want me to take a break, and maybe you might have a question, or maybe someone else has a question.
Well, I don't have no one with their hands raised yet. If you have a, you need to ask a question, all you have to do is call the number 563-999-3739 and press the number 1. You must press the number 1 so I can be able to stick you in.
Sure. If you'd like to, I can go ahead and tell you a little bit more about the GSA schedule program and what's the value to small business, if I may.
Go ahead.
So what I was going to also mention is that the other good thing about a GSA schedule program is, like I mentioned earlier, you know, 80% of the contractors are small businesses, but then there's also businesses on there that maybe are going to be small disadvantaged businesses or women-owned businesses or hub-zone businesses or veteran-owned businesses and service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses. And the significance of this is that, you know, we have on the contract, like I said, there's 18,000 contractors, and just today I was showing someone how many contractors are in a particular area. And we saw, like, in their category, there were, like, over 300 contractors. But then I showed them, because this person that was calling into me was saying that they're a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. And so I told them, you know, let's go ahead and see if we can pare down this list of 300 contractors and just look at the people that are service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses. And so I did that for them, and I was able to show them that there were, like, you know, maybe 50 service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses. And so that's the other beauty about the program. It allows federal agencies to do set-asides. And as you might know about set-asides, the federal government has small business goals, not only for small business, but also goals for, like, women-owned businesses or veteran-owned businesses or small disadvantaged businesses or hub-zone businesses. And so what happens is federal agencies go to this list and they create set-asides. So you're not competing against everybody in the world. Let's say if you're a small disadvantaged firm, then you would be able to compete among other small disadvantaged firms. And so instead of competing against 300 contractors, there might only be 30 contractors around the country. And then if you want to, let's say if they were looking for a small disadvantaged firm that does janitorial services. And as we know, if you're providing janitorial services like here in the Texas area, you're probably not going to have competitors from New York State or California and vice versa. So what will happen is on the schedule list, you can ask the system, just give me all the contractors in Texas. And so then what happens is the federal agency will probably find like 5 small disadvantaged firms just in the state of Texas. And so then the federal agency will target those 5 firms and see if they can find a contractor within those 5, because what they want to do is not only award a contract, but they also want to award a contract to a small disadvantaged firm. And so that gives you a better chance of winning contracts. And so that's, like I said, one of the beauties of the GSA schedule system is that you're not competing against the entire world. You can create set-asides and be part of set-asides, and that make it easier for you to compete for business. And so that's something that we can explore if you'd like to. So I just wanted to point that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let me ask you something, Mr. Garza. The OASIS and OASIS Small Business, can you explain what that's all about?
Sure. Yeah, you know, GSA Schedule, that's not the only program that we have. We have a lot of other programs. One of them is called OASIS. OASIS is a government acronym that stands for One Acquisition Solution for Integrated Services. Let me repeat that because it's a long mouthful. It's One Acquisition Solution for Integrated Services. And as the name implies, what it does is that it allows let me give you a really good instance, because like in a lot of federal offices, if you were to go in there, you would notice that there's a lot of laptops, computers, and desktop computers, but then these computers are all tied into maybe a copier or a printer and stuff like that. A long time ago, if you wanted to do business with a federal agency that had all these laptops or PCs and then the printers and the copiers and all the other equipment that goes along with them, you would have to have a contract for each one of those tools. So what happens is with OASIS, what we've done is we combined all that. So now there's contractors that offer the full 9 yards of everything that you might find like in an office. So we have contractors that do, you know, laptops, but they also do the printers or the copier machines and stuff like that. And so they all tie them together. And so instead of having 3 or 4 separate contracts, now they just have one contract. So what happens is we again have contractors in the Oasis program. And what's so great about that is we have two pools. We have an unrestricted pool that's open to all businesses, and then we have a small business pool. And so if you're a small business, you don't want to compete against the big guys. You can go ahead and compete on the small business pool. And so again, it makes it a lot easier for you to compete against those companies. The other thing about it is that, again, federal agencies, if they want to do a small business set-aside, they use the small business pool as opposed to the unrestricted pool. And so they have that choice. And now the interesting thing about the Oasis program is you have to wait for what we call an open season. And so you'll always see that, and they're always advertised at SAM.gov. As you might know, SAM.gov is the government website where we advertise all of our procurements that are valued over $25,000. So that's one place to do it. And then if you are interested in Oasis, I can send you the web page for the Oasis program, and you can find out all about it. Let me also give you another instance that I'm glad you brought up Oasis, because even though we currently have contractors in there, the great thing about it is, let's say, like, if you're still waiting for an open season, you can still do business in the Oasis program. Because let's say if you're a small business, you can go on ahead and approach all the large companies. All the large companies on the program have subcontracting plans, and a lot of these subcontracting plans have goals of 50%. So if you're a small business, you might want to approach the large businesses and see if you can become a subcontractor to them, because you're actually doing them a favor, because they get brownie points for making sure that they meet the subcontracting plan. And like I mentioned, usually their goals are at 50%, so they're looking for small businesses all the time. And so that's an opportunity that everybody, if you're a small business, you can take full advantage of. And if you are interested in that, again, just call me at area code 817-932-3117, and I can send you the web links so that you can find out more about this program. Now, that Oasis is one program. There's another program that we also have called GWACS. And GWACS is a government acronym that stands for Government-Wide Acquisition Contracts. The GWACS are very much like the GSA schedules or the Oasis program, but these are contracts that are aimed mostly towards IT procurements. And again, we have the programs have both small businesses and large businesses on it. But again, for the large businesses, if you want to, a lot of them have subcontracting plans, and again, a lot of times their subcontracting goals are 50%, and so they're always looking for small businesses to partner with them as subcontractors. And again, I can provide you with the information about how to pursue subcontracting, and then in the future, whenever they have an open season, you can try out for the programs yourself and become one of the GWAC contractors. So that's another opportunity that's always open to you.
Okay. Very good. And let me ask you something else, Mr. Garza. For instance, there's a lot of new NIC codes. A lot of people sometimes want to do business with the government, but they don't know what they want to sell to the government.
Sure.
They don't know what they want to sell. And one of the things I was telling people who the government buys a little bit of everything. They buy everything. And it's amazing. They buy grain. They buy feed. They buy, for the farmers, they buy a lot of feed and things like that. So NIC code, can you explain NIC codes to people and what they are about? Because I tell people all the time, in order for you to know what you're selling, you have to have your NIC codes. So they don't understand what a NIC code is. And I try to tell them, no, this is a national code that everybody goes by when they want. For instance, if I sell dumpsters, I can put the word dumpster in there, but it's not going to pull up dumpsters. It's going to pull it up under containers. If I had a farm, if I'm a farmer, and I grew like maybe hemp, hemp, you know, the seeds, the plants.
Right.
And if I know that the Army make ropes, and things like that. I have to be careful of what NICOs I put in there, because either I'm a one that grows in an open field or whatever. So can you explain the importance of possibly NICOs?
Sure. And that's a very good issue. Yeah, that's a very good issue. Thanks for bringing that up. You're right. The federal government is one of the interesting things about federal governments is we like to classify everything that we buy. And so we've created a system called the North American Industry Classification System Code. And we share this with Mexico and Canada. And so that's why it's called North America. It was part of the free trade agreement between the three countries here in North America. And so what happens is we have a six-digit number. And so it's pretty much anything under the sun. And so if you want to find, and the significance of that is it makes it a whole lot easier for you to find out how the federal government does business for a particular Ms. Melton mentioned, whether if you're looking for a very specific product or a service or something like that. So what happens is the NAICS codes, it's a long name, North American Industry Classification System, and because it's such a long name, we usually refer to it as NAICS, and then NAICS code, which is the six-digit code number. So what happens is this code is actually maintained by the Department of Commerce, and so if you'd like to, again, I can show you where the information is, or if you'd like to, you can easily Google NAICS, N-A-I-C-S, and a Google search will send you straight to the NAICS website. At the NAICS website, they have search boxes there, and all you have to do is put in, like you said, you can put in whatever your industry is, whether you're in hemp or if you're a farmer or if you're doing, you know, car washes or whether if you're a janitorial service or if you're a doctor or anything like that. So you put that in the search box, and then the system will tell you what the NAICS codes are that apply to your company. And so once you have that NAICS codes, as you might know, when you want to do business with the federal government, you'll register for free at a website known as the Systems for Award Management, also known as SAM.gov. And again, if you need more information about going to SAM.gov and registering your business, I can show you how to do that. And there's a lot of other people that are out there that can assist you getting into SAM.gov. But when you register at SAM.gov, you're going to identify the NAICS codes that apply to you. And the significance of this is that whenever the federal government wants to give you money for a product or service that they want to buy from you, they always have to classify whatever they're buying, and they have to identify the NAICS code. And so you always want to make sure that you have the proper NAICS codes in your SAM.gov registration, because we can only do business with you if you have the proper NAICS code. Now, another way that you can do it, and one of the things that I always like to do when people are starting off in the federal government, is there's another government website known as Federal Procurement Data System. And at the Federal Procurement Data System, you can find out how much money does the federal government spend for a particular NAICS code. So again, if you like to, I can teach you how to go to the Federal Procurement Data System. It's a free database. It's open to everybody. And what you do is you just put in the NAICS code into the easy search box, and the system will automatically give you how much the government has bought over the last 20 years. And so it will give you, you know, really detailed information of who buys it, how they buy it. And this is a good way, because this will tell you, you know, how to position your product or service within the federal government. What you'll find out is sometimes people will buy your NAICS code through the GSA schedule that we've already talked about, or they might buy it through another acquisition vehicle, or they might use a credit card to buy it, or they might use a purchase order, or there's other things that the way they can buy it. And so this system will tell you how the federal government buys that NAICS code. And then what's so good about that is now that you know how the federal government buys it, you can position your company to capture those sales in the future. And then what you do is you then go to SAM.gov, and you can also plug in that NAICS code in SAM.gov, and it will give you all the procurements that are currently out on the street for that NAICS code. So, Ms. Melton is very correctly. The NAICS code is the key, but once you have that NAICS code, then it opens up a Pandora box of opportunities for you, and then you're able to actually go out there and search for those opportunities. It makes it a whole lot easier for you to do that. So, and like I said, there are a lot of people that can help you look for that. Don't feel like you're out there by yourself. Again, my phone number is 972-3117. And then there's also people across the country that can help you. There's, I think Ms. Melton already mentioned that about the Apex Accelerators. This is another office where you can get free counseling assistance. And again, I can show you where your local Apex Accelerator office is, and you can go to them, and they can also counsel you on how to do business with the federal government for free. And then also the Small Business Administration also has a lot of resources. And as you might know, a little bit later on this month, Ms. Melton will have a couple of people from the Small Business Administration on, and so I would encourage you to you know, attend those sessions also during the next month. So anyway.
And did you say that particular you said it was a federal procurement data system that they can see the history of the code?
Yeah, it's called the Federal Procurement Data System, and again, if you do a Google search for Federal Procurement Data System, it will take you to the website, and it's a free website. It's open to everybody, and they have, when you get to the homepage, there's an easy search box at the very front of the page. All you have to do is plug in your NAICS code, or you can even put in a layers, like let's say like if you're a farmer, you can put in there farmer or dairy products or something like that. And the system will automatically search for it. The other thing you can do is, even if you don't know what you're looking for, sometimes I just put the number one in the search box, and it will open it up. And once it opens it up, then you can do searches within the database. And it's a very massive database. Like I said, normally it will go up to 20 years, so you can find out what the federal government bought back in the year 2000 or 2002. So you can actually go that far back and find out, you know, how we actually bought certain things. And if you like it, you can put all of this information into an Excel file. And as we all know, when you put it in an Excel file, then you can manipulate the data and you can study the data a little bit more clearly. So like I said, there's a lot of information out there. And I always like to say the great thing about the Federal Procurement Data System is that I usually like to refer to it as opportunity mapping. And because when you use all that data, you'll be able to figure out and essentially create your own map to how the federal government has all those opportunities available. And then now that you know where all the opportunities exist, then you can start searching for those opportunities, and you know exactly where to look. So you're not trying to, just trying to find it. So it sort of helps you to find those opportunities. And like I said, it's all for free. It's free for the taking, and it's really not that hard to open it up and search the system. But if you need any assistance, I can assist you on that.
Okay. And Mr. Garza, what I want to insert right here, I want to take a little break and let people know we are, when I say we, the Burners Help Foundation and my business, VM Graphic Marketing, we are doing a joint venture to open up a federal government assistant. Well, it's going to be a development center to help people one-on-one when they walk in to actually teach them about how to do business with the government. And this is one of the things that we're going to be doing is trying to, for 3 days out of each week, we're going to have training classes to go over with people to show them the NICOs. NICOs is very, very important to let you know how to get opportunities, to teach you how to sell your business, how to create your business. You have to know what you want to sell to the government. It's so important, as well as experience of how much you know what you're selling. In other words, if I sold the military, the Department of Defense, a particular box or crate, and that crate got to be with so much pressured wood. I mean, there's different type of wood that you make crates with, as well as dumpsters, drums. My business, we do packaging. So that's what I sell. It's packaging, but it's commercial packaging. And in that, I have to be careful of how my NIC codes are. But in Sam's, there's a search bar. When you put that NIC code in there, it will pull up every contract all over the world from the Department of Defense, the Army, the Air Force, if they have an offer or if they are doing any type of business with that particular product, you will see it in Sam's. And I want to tell people this too. When I go into Sam's, sometimes you have to be careful that you are putting in the right address. It's www.sam.gov. Don't put nothing else with that, because when you have the .gov, you will see that official Sam website. If you go into a different website and that website asks you for some money or asks you to sign up, you're in the wrong website. So get out of there. It's because Sam, everything is free. And that's what I tell people. It's no cost to sign up for the government. But the advantage is tremendous. And I'm a living witness. And I just think that I want to share with people so much. But hi, Sam. Working with the GSA has helped me. It helped my whole family. And I just want to share that with everybody. So, Mr. Garza, I really appreciate you coming on. But I'm not through. I don't want you to leave yet. I'm just giving you a break.
Okay.
I want you to come back. But I want to also tell people this. We do have a little commercial, because in my commercial I want to talk about what's going on the rest of this month. The rest of this month we have the whole month. I want to dedicate my episodes here on my podcast for the government, selling and doing business with the government. So on next Thursday we're going to have Nancy Alvarez. She's with the Small Business Administration to talk about all the opportunities they have and how her office can help you. On April the 20th, we're going to have Mr. Gregory James, Cross Timbers. Cross Timbers is also the new Procurement Technical Assistance Center. They have a lot of information that you'll enjoy, as well as GSA information that we're enjoying tonight. The last Thursday in April, we're going to have Bridget Moon. Bridget Moon, I believe she's a specialist for veterans who's doing business with the government. She's also a small business, counselor to help people one-on-one to do business with the government as well. So this entire month of April, we want you all to know that it's being dedicated to those who want to do business, or those who's never done business before, and those who did and want to come back and do enhance what you're doing. Also, there is an announcement, because on May the 6th, the Vernon's Health Foundation is planning another in-person legal clinic on May 6th, 2023, from 10 o'clock a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. at the Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church, which is 680 U.S. Highway 80. That's in Mesquite, Texas. So we want to invite you out to bring your questions, because we are having a legal clinic, and we're inviting the Legal Aid of Northwest Texas. But we have confirmed a moderator who's always there, Judge Dominique Collins, Constable Deanna Hammond, and Candace Haley. Candace is a lawyer who represents clients in estate planning, probate, guardianship, and family law. And the last time we had Candace Sadley, there was a young lady who said that she don't have no money. All she had was three children. And Candace told her, she said, "Do I need a will?" And she said, "Yes. Because if anything should happen to you, those children need to know. Someone needs to know who's going to take care of your children." So it's so important for us to do this. And Mr. Guzzler, like you know me, I am so thankful to God that I'm still here to be able to do this. I'm so thankful to my church, Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church, for allowing me to use their facilities. And it will hold about 300 people. So you tell your friends, you tell your neighbors, if they have any type of questions or if they have any type of problems with guardianship, appeals, disability, evictions, slip and falls, Social Security benefits, and much, much more, to come out and ask the questions. It's free. We're going to have a lot of attorneys there. And Judge Collins finished with everybody on stage, they'll break out to talk with the people there that's going to be there to talk to them one-on-one. And we have enough room in that Jesus Center where we're going to be, fellowship hall, to take you one-on-one away from the crowd and talk to you to try to help you with the problems that you're having. So that's another gift that we want to do and give the people, Mr. Garza, aside what we're doing here with the small businesses. And I want to thank you because I want you to come back and just explain to people again about a little bit more about GSA acquisition support. There's so much about GSA that they need to know about the acquisition support and how to do business, the NIC codes. So I just want you to come back, but I was trying to just give you a break if you needed a break. Okay?
No, I'm fine, but thank you very much.
Listeners coming in. I see a lot of people, but none has to push the one button. If you want to ask a question, just remember I see you you're in the studio, but you have to push the one if you have a question. Okay, Mr. Garza, let's go back with you. We still have a little time left, and I want to give you the rest of the time. Okay?
Sure. Thank you. But before I go into something else, what I was going to also mention, I don't know if there's anybody that's maybe in the construction business, and especially if you're in a small business, I would like to give everybody a heads up on a major procurement that's coming up from GSA here in Region 7, which is Texas and the four surrounding states, which includes New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana. And I would like to spend a couple of minutes talking about that opportunity, especially for those people that might be on that are construction firms or construction-related firms, if I may.
Okay.
Like I mentioned, GSA has two parts. One of them is the Federal Acquisition Service that takes care of the Schedules program and the GWACs and the OASIS program and things like that. The other side of the house is our Public Building Service. And so our Public Building Service is getting ready, and they're probably going to issue a solicitation on SAM.gov probably next month in May. This is going to be a small business set-aside, so it's only open to small businesses. And this program is going to be providing construction services to the Public Building Service, part of GSA, and it's normally a five-year contract period. And so what we're doing is to facilitate trying to get as many small businesses as possible onto this program. What we're doing is on this program, we call it an Indefinite Delivery, Indefinite Quantity Program, or IDIQ for short. And what that means is that we're looking for companies where we can put them, like, on retainer. And so, as I mentioned earlier, we have a whole lot of federal buildings and a lot of courthouses and stuff like that throughout this GSA Region 7. And all GSA regions have the similar type of programs. But what we do is, let's say, like, if there might be a judge, like, in the Dallas Federal Building, and they want us to repanel their office. They would like to, you know, they don't like the current paint job, and they would like us to, panel their office. So what we have to do is we have to find a construction contractor who can go into that office and repanel the office for that judge. And so instead of doing separate contracts, we create what we call an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract. And so we already have contractors in place on retainer. And so what happens is we go to these small businesses and say, hey, who would like to do this project for us? And so if they give us a good price for it, then they get that contract and they're able to do that. So what we do is we, out of our five-state region, we're going to divide up our region into what we call 12 zones. And then each zone will have two pools, one for small contracts and then the other one for large. And when I say small, what happens is if you know anything about the federal acquisition regulations that controls how we do it, a small procurement will be anything that's below $250,000 or $250,000. And actually that's where a lot of our business is at. Usually about 80% of our task orders are in the small pool because, like I mentioned earlier, you're going in and you're just doing some repair and alteration in a federal building and stuff like that, and so it's not going to really cost that much. And then we have a large pool, and that's for any procurement that's going to be valued over $250,000. And so what happens is we're going to create two pools, and then we're going to have 12 zones with those two pools each. And if you're interested in trying out for those contracts, what you do is you can try out for either any of the 12 zones, and you can also try out for any of the two pools within the zones. And so what will happen is we will have multiple contractors within those pools and zones, and then whenever we have a project, we go to that pool of contractors and we say, hey, who would like to do the project? And then whoever is available to do it and gives us the right price, then we go to them. So it's a great way to do business if you're in the construction area. You know that you probably will have a lot of business. And like I said, the contracts usually last up to 5 years, and so we're going to be start making those. You're going to see the solicitation come out in May of this year, and then we're going to start making awards at the end of 2023. But we'll be making awards over the next 4 years, because what we're going to do is go among all the 12 zones around our region, and so we're going to have a rolling schedule of awards. And so I just want to make sure that everybody is aware of that. Again, if you want more information about that, just call me at area code 817-932-3117. And like I said, this is just for GSA's Region 7, which is Texas and the four surrounding states. We have similar programs with all GSA regions across the country. And if you want more information about that, I can share that information. But it's always going to be available at SAM.gov. And like we were talking about in NAICS codes earlier, you just want to make sure that you have the NAICS code 236220. That's the NAICS code that we're going to be using for those procurement. And so if you're in that NAICS code, 236220. Oh, the NAICS code for, and this NAICS code is for doing commercial and industrial construction, and it's known as 236220. That's the NAICS code. It's a six-digit number, 236220. And so if you have that NAICS code on your SAM.gov registration, and if you're a small business, you can qualify for this program. And so I would encourage you to do that. Even though this program is aimed at Texas and the four surrounding states, we have already had interest from companies, construction companies across the country that are interested about coming into the greater Southwest region. Just the other day, we had someone from San Diego looking at this opportunity, and we also had some people on the East Coast that were interested in this opportunity. So a lot of people are interested in coming in, and because we're going to have quite a lot of projects to do over the next 5 years, and so they want to be part of all that business that's coming that way. So, but like I said, there's programs like this all around the country, so we're not the only game in town. And so I just wanted to make sure all your listeners are aware of that program. Like I said, you'll see the solicitation at SAM.gov probably in May.
Okay. So I know some people probably will be very interested in that program. And I hope they're...
And then... No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said I hope they're listening online, but a lot of our people listen online and they don't call in. So, but I hope they're listening to that, because that code, that NIC code is 236220. And if you are not commercial, could you do it if you just a contractor? If you just if you are a contractor who does painting, or a contractor that does paints wallpaper. Can you do it?
Yeah, you probably won't be able to do that, but the other good thing about it is if you're interested, let's say like if you only do electrician work or you're just a painter or a carpenter or stuff like that, what you can also do is even though you may not be able to compete for the entire contract, just remember that there's always subcontracting opportunities available, and even though these are small businesses, they don't mind doing business with other small businesses, and so they might want to bring you into the fold. And so, again, as soon as we start making awards, we will always announce who are the companies that are getting the awards at SAM.gov, or you can also call me, and I can provide you that information. And what you might want to do, let's say if you're an electrician and you only do electrician work, you can approach these small businesses and say, hey, I know you're a general contractor, but maybe you don't have a really good electrician. Can I be the electrician for you on any of these projects? And you're free to do that. That's also an opportunity. You can subcontract with these companies. So, there's those type of opportunities also.
I see. Okay. Well, you have a wealth of information with you tonight, and I am so happy that you were able to share with us many opportunities that one may have doing business with the federal government. Mr. Garza, but could you tell me about how many offices do GSA work with? For us, is it how many government facilities is there?
Oh wow. Well, let me give you a description about let me give you an idea because I think a lot of us have seen the New York skyline, especially Manhattan. Did you know that the federal government by itself, if you were to look at Manhattan Island and New York City, and if you were to look at all the office buildings that are from, you know, Battery Park, which is at the very tip of the island, all the way to Central Park. And if you were to look at all that office space in, just in downtown, on midtown Manhattan, that's equivalent to how much space, office space, the federal government, GSA, has around the country. And so that gives you an idea of all the kind of offices we have. So if you can visualize, you know, New York from Battery Park all the way to Central Park, and, you know, that includes, like, the things like the World Trade Center and the Empire State Building and the Rockefeller Center and all the buildings in downtown Manhattan and stuff like that, that's equivalent to what we have in federal buildings across the country. So that gives you the size of how many things we have. I think the last time I saw it, it was somewhere around like about 5,000 structures throughout the entire United States that we have out there. And these could be small buildings or large buildings and stuff like that. Now, that's just what GSA owns. As you might guess, that doesn't include the federal buildings that the Defense Department owns, like the Pentagon, because that would be separate. Or maybe, like, if you would go to the national parks and you see all these park headquarters and stuff like that, that's usually managed by the U.S. Department of Interior or the U.S. Forest Service and stuff like that. So this doesn't include those. This just includes the office structures that you would normally see in downtown or suburban locations around the country. So, yeah, that's quite a lot. And then the other thing, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you ever are on the roadway and if you see you can always tell when you're following a government car because it will usually have the federal license plates on it. And if you see any car that has the letter G on it, G stands for General Services Administration, and that means that car is managed by the General Services Administration. So let's say, like, if you're like an auto maintenance facility here in the United States and you provide, you know, auto maintenance services, you can get involved with GSA taking care of all of our fleet vehicles. So for anybody out there that has, automotive repair shop and stuff like that, if you're interested in getting doing business with GSA that way, again, just contact me at area code 817-932-3117, and I can show you how GSA, we keep a list of auto maintenance companies across the country, and you can get on our vendor list. And so whenever there's a GSA fleet vehicle that needs maintenance service, you'll be on that list, and we'll call you up and say, hey, we have a car that needs maintenance, and if you give us the right price, then you'll get the contract, and you can provide that maintenance to GSA fleet vehicles. So that's another opportunity that's out there for fleet maintenance businesses.
Okay. And that's in every state and every city. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, exactly. And a lot of those purchases, you don't have to necessarily have a card. I mean, you don't have to have a contract. All you have to do is be willing to accept a credit card because normally these cars have government purchase cards attached to them. And so what will happen is if we have to get, let's say, like, we have to change oil or change the tires or fix up broken glass or something like that, we will go to a vehicle maintenance shop and we'll charge you by credit card. So if you accept a credit card, you're in business. You can do business that way. So it's not a separate contract per se, as long as you accept a government credit card.
Okay. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, it's really a great way for those small businesses that are in the auto maintenance area to get involved that way. And they might not realize it. There are a lot of vehicles out there, and this is just the GSA fleet vehicles. That are out there,
because there's
hundreds of thousands of GSA fleet vehicles around the country. So just to give you how large it is,
and that's GSA, that's not military.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Besides GSA, I mean the military, the permanent. How many, for instance, how many people actually? How many government offices do we have? Can you give me a
I don't have the exact number. I know that in terms of federal agencies, I know that there's probably over 60 federal agencies out there. You know, they all range from, you know, the very large Department of Defense down to the Smithsonian Museums in Washington, D.C. It also includes, like, the Tennessee Valley Authority in the Tennessee Valley area. And so there's, you know, so the last time I looked at it, I know that there were over 60 federal agencies out there. And so there are quite a few. And not only that, but they're not only located in this country, but we also have federal agencies located around the world. As you know, we have the State Department and, of course, the Defense Department, but there's also, like, the U.S. Aid, which is does social services around the world and stuff like that. There's the Voice of America that does broadcast around the world. And so, yeah, so there's quite a lot of activity going on out there.
In the Department of Interior, you would think, when you say the interior, you may think it's on the inside, but it's really the parks. Am I correct? It's really the national parks.
Exactly. And then the other thing I might want to also talk about is, you know, because you brought up about the Department of Interior, another part of the Department of Interior is what we call the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And so we take care of all of the Native American lands throughout the country. And so that's a very big part. And that also brings up another good thing. A lot of people don't, sometimes they already know about this, but don't forget about all the hospital systems that the federal government controls. Of course, everybody's probably aware of the VA system because mm-hmm. they probably either have visited a VA facility or they've
right.
visited a VA clinic. But then there's also medical facilities with the Bureau of Prisons. For instance, like in our area here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's a large medical complex at Carswell Air Force Base that serves the Bureau of Prisons. And then there's also the hospital system for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They have hospitals for Native American tribes throughout the United States. And so let's say, like, if you do anything that's in the medical area, just remember that there's three large medical systems, the VA, the Bureau of Prisons, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then there's also the National Institutes for Health in Washington, D.C., and then also there's also the military medical facilities located around the world. So the federal government buys a whole lot of medical equipment and supplies and services, too, so that's another big area of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
And then I think you also mentioned something about, like, you know, what farmers do. And, again, the federal government buys a whole lot of food and food service equipment. As you can guess, you know, of course, the military, we have to feed military members around the world. And so there's specialized programs that are open to subcontracting opportunities. And, of course, then the Bureau of Prisons has to they have their food program. The VA has their food program. And then, again, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, they also provide schools. And then also these schools have lunch programs for Native American children that are on Indian tribal lands and stuff like that. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, the federal government buys a whole lot of food and food service equipment for around the government. And then the other thing we might also want to point out is don't forget that the federal government manages the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., and the District of Columbia has a school system and a hospital system and a prison system also. So there's a lot of activity in that area, too.
Well, let me ask you something. In their school systems, have they switched to clear backpacks yet? Do you know?
What about the school systems? Say it again, please. I didn't hear that.
Do all of these have school systems, separate school systems as well? The Bureau of Indian Affairs and things like that.
Well, that brings up another good point. There's several ways that we help school districts and stuff. For instance, as you might know, the federal government has a whole lot of property, personal property especially, like desks and computers and stuff like that. So we help local school districts providing them equipment, excess property, or excess office equipment, or books, or things that we do. And so a lot of school districts are able to get all this free material, and that keeps their taxes low because they're able to utilize this excess personal property like desk and computers and phones and stuff like that. So we do that. But then we also have a lot of other programs where whenever we have something called cooperative purchasing. And again, state and local governments can utilize GSA schedule sources and other GSA systems to buy equipment and stuff like that. And so they are allowed to buy, you know, computers and law enforcement equipment and stuff like that from GSA schedule sources. So when you're on the GSA schedule, not only are you doing business with the federal agencies, but through the cooperative purchasing program, you could also be helping state and local governments, and you're part of the country. So that's another opportunity that's open
yes.
to you.
Well, I know there is some basis that has actually families and schools on there because I have sold some backpacks to some of the military bases. I know there's one in is there one in Long Island or I know it's a base.
Yeah, they're around the world, and so yeah, we provide a whole lot of things to school districts that are located on military bases, both here
right.
in the States and around the world. So yes, there's also that too.
Oh my goodness, I mean it's unbelievable the opportunities. You know, and I wish that I was much younger, Mr. Garza. I just don't have these. I don't have the same strength I had 20 years ago. But I enjoyed going to New York. I mean, you all had a office right there in the federal building. I enjoyed going to the meetings. I learned a lot. At that time, I think you all had two ports, one in French Camp and one right there in Burlington, New Jersey. And
those
ports stopped. Now, are those ports going to ever open back up, you think?
I don't know. The ports are still out there for, like, the Defense Department, but GSA got rid of all of our ports, and now we just piggyback off of the Defense Department ports. And that was a cost-saving move that was made probably about a dozen years ago. We had to get rid of our facilities, and now we're using the Department of Defense facilities.
So who has the port right now? The Department of Defense still have their port?
I think they do. I might want to point out that GSA does have some facilities, like in Hawaii, and I think also we have one facility in Tokyo, or in Japan, I should say. But again, those are special use ports, and then we usually share them with the Defense Department.
I see. Okay.
But we got rid of all of our facilities here in the continental United States, and that was just a cost-saving measure that was done about a dozen years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember when they closed, when they shut them down. I remember that. Okay. Well, Mr. Garza, we have so much more that we need to share with the community, and I am looking forward. Like I said before, we have three more events for this month, and like I said before, we have next week we're going to have SBA. And then after SBA, we're going to have the PTAC, which is called a Procurement Technical Assistance. And after the Procurement Technical Assistance Center, Mr. Gregory James, we're going to have Bridget Moon to come back the next Thursday after that with SBA again. So with this entire month, we're dedicating to small businesses, teaching them, learning how to do business with the government. And ask any questions that may have. And this tonight, you have given them a lot of curiosity and probably will have much more next week. And they're telling us that we have 60 seconds left, but we may go over a little bit because I do want to get this announcement. This announcement,
okay.
Mr. Garza, is going to be about, and again, we are telling everybody about the May 6th Legal Clinic at 10 o'clock a.m. To 1 o'clock p.m. at the Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church, which is located at 680 U.S. Highway 80. And we have, coming in for that, we have our moderator, Judge Dominique Collins, along with Deanna Hammond, who is our new constable, Attorney Candace Haley, and a lot more. And they're going to be talking about a lot of estate planning programs, guardianship, appeals, disability, eviction notices, slip and falls, Social Security benefits, and much, much more. We have a lot of senior citizens who's going through evictions, also with tax problems because the taxes has gone so high till they can't afford to keep their homes because of the taxes. So we're going to be talking about those problems, what they're doing, what they're going through, and how to get that appealed. So we want people to tune in for next week as well, but also to make sure they keep May 6th, save that date, and come out to the Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church that Saturday morning at 10 a.m. So I want to thank you, Mr. Garza. Thank God for you, too, because you're so willing all the time when we ask you to come out and help the community. So thank you, and I look forward to hearing more from the other agencies this week. So do you have your comments?
Oh, I was just going to say thank you again, Ms. Melton. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you and your guest tonight in your broadcast. And then I'm open to another invitation, so feel free to invite me again maybe in a few months or later in the year whenever you have some free time. And I look forward to meeting you in person again, in person, whenever you have another in-person meeting here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
Okay.
And I can work with Nancy and all of our partners to bring the opportunities to the people here. So anyway, thanks again for all this great opportunity. And
okay,
everybody have a very good day and good night.
Thank you, sir. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care.
Okay, I'm going to thank everybody for listening in tonight, and those that's listening in and who has called in, please thank you so much for being on the air with us tonight. And if you will, tell your friends about it and tell them to please share and like push the like button and share it with your friends. Thank you, and you all have a good night.
Hey!